So I saw your jaw drop there when Ernie said white people love Barack Obama.
I had to think about what he said for a second. We're going to have to invite him back because I certainly would like to ask him, aren't you proof that things have changed? There's no question there are racial tensions. There's no question that there are major racial inequities that all need to be addressed. But not only is Ernie living proof that things have changed, I'm living proof that things are changed. We don't even have to get to Barack Obama when you look around at the opportunities that people of color, African Americans, others have gotten in the last 40 years that they just would have never had then.
But you also see, this was a position he took very early, and it's worked well for him in the Nebraska legislature. He's the gadfly, and that's worked well for him. It doesn't necessarily mean he moves the debate forward.
Right,
but
which
it was great
is the
to have
question,
him here.
Exactly, which is ultimately the question, okay, where do we go from here?
Right.
These things exist, so are we going to talk about them to resolve them, or are we going to just sort of harp on what doesn't work? Anyhow.
I guess race relations is a full-hour show as opposed to 6 minutes.
No, I think that's a four-hour show, John. We're going to tackle that, though, one day. I am just going to hope that that happens. We are going to talk about another mind-warping idea, which is fear, which is something that drives us to do all kinds of things. Since 9/11 here in the United States, terrorism rose quickly to the top of list of things that Americans fear most. But new research, according to one analyst, shows the current financial crisis has trumped terrorism fears. William Burns, a research scientist at Decision Research Think Tank, joins us now to explain. Welcome, William.
Yes, good morning. Glad to be here.
Now, it's not terribly surprising, given the fact that people are worrying about keeping their homes, they're worrying about putting gas in their gas tanks, that that would become the number one concern as opposed to something that could potentially happen.
Yeah, that's right. What we do with Decision Research is actually look at how people respond to all manner of threats. Decision Research has been a pioneer in that area for about 30 years. And about 3.5 weeks ago, it all of a sudden dawned on us that we had a unique opportunity to actually look at, study public risk perception and risk-related behaviors in the midst of an ongoing economic crisis. And I and my colleagues there sort of worked feverishly for a few-day period to develop a online survey with a panel that we have put together nationwide over the last several months. And we launched, our goal was to actually launch this survey nationwide on the morning of Monday, September 29th, never realizing that the timing couldn't have been
better. Oh, my goodness.
Better. You know, the largest drop in the stock market in U.S. history. And so what we plan to do, to address some of the questions you just raised, is to actually follow a group of people, about 800 people nationwide, through this financial crisis.
Oh, so you're still following them now?
Say it again.
You're still following those 800 people
Absolutely.
Now?
We plan to do at least 6 surveys. We've done 2 already.
And what have you learned?
What have we learned so far? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of anger with regard to how the economy has been managed. There's a lot of fear, as you mentioned at the introduction to the broadcast. There is a lot of concerns about what their future holds. There's a lot of very, very negative feelings about Wall Street. We ask the question, you know, what's your first image that comes to mind when you think about Wall Street? And it was extraordinarily negative, crash, dishonest, corruption. And this is a very serious sign because if Wall Street were to become stigmatized in people's minds, mm-hmm. particularly the average investor, they may be very, very reluctant to then put their money back in the stock market, even when the market begins to turn around.
Because nothing affects our actions, right, like fear.
Fear is a big motivator for our actions. And what we know from probably 30 years of work in this area is that when people are afraid, their perceptions of risk begin to go up. They begin to take less risk. They pull back. And in the investment community, this might mean that we've seen that people are putting their money, there's a flight to cash, for example, which makes a lot of sense right now. But how long will people do this? Because there's opportunity costs for operating on fear. Investors are very, very afraid right now, as measured by some of the indicators like the VIX index that measures 30-day expectations for volatility in the stock market, this is at sky-high levels. So this, the fears that investors have correspond with the kind of fear that we're seeing in the in our surveys. And the other thing we found, and this is something that will have to be dealt with, is there's a profound lack of trust. We asked our
you mean more so than at other times in our history, or more so, what are you comparing it to?
Well, I think it is more. If you look at the last, say, 8 years of President Bush's administration, I think there's been, for a variety of reasons, an erosion of trust. And so when we asked our respondents, to what degree do you trust President Bush, the Congress, business leaders, mm-hmm. and so forth, here's how it went. Business leaders, when we asked to what degree do you feel that business leaders can help with the economic challenges we're facing, only 3% said they had high or very high trust. Congress, only 4% of our respondents said high or very high trust. The Secretary of the Treasury, 4%. President Bush was at 3%. John McCain was up at 12%. Barack Obama at about 22%.
So does that, that was going to be my next question. How do we extrapolate this into, I hate to use the word predicting behavior, but does it help explain what some of the polls have been showing, Barack Obama pulling ahead of John McCain?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at right after the Republican convention, where Sarah Palin was in the news quite a bit, the polling results began to turn in Senator McCain's favor. As soon as we entered into the financial crisis, you began to see this come around, and I think that is for a couple of reasons. One, Barack Obama has put forth, I think, a very consistent message of change. And I also think on the trust issue, Barack Obama has not only been maybe a clear message on the financial challenges, but he's a very, very calm, even-minded, almost unflappable type of communicator. And I think the American public has responded very well to that.
William Burns, thank you for your snapshot today.
Glad to do it.
William Burns, a scientist at Decision Research, and he says he's going to survey people 6 more times. So it'll be fascinating to see what the end result is there.
Fear is a great motivator. We'll find out if it's a political motivator. We're always on at thetakeaway.org. You can catch up with us on iTunes if you missed anything.
And today we're talking about Colin Powell's endorsement. How much do you think endorsements matter? Do you think that Powell's endorsement is special? 877-8-MY-TAKE. We're taking all thoughts.
And we're also, here's a controversial view on race relations and Barack Obama in America. Your takeaway.
White people like Barack Obama. They don't like black people.
That's former Nebraska State Senator Ernie Chambers, subject of the 1960s documentary A Time for Burning, talking about the state of racism in America 40 years later.
I'm Adore Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.